Faith is the answer. That is the title of today's message. We're starting in verse 23. And as I have said in the past, and I'll say again, it's really honestly imperative. If this is going to be as rich of a study as it can be, if you are not aware, and even if you are, it would still do good to have a refresher course. You need to go back in the Old Testament where this history is revealed, and you need to avail yourself to those facts and figures and to those realities that happen. I do not believe that these are quote-unquote Bible stories in that they are made up. They're Bible stories in that they actually happened. I believe that. And what God did to bring his nation is nothing short of miraculous. Nothing short of that. Again, Hollywood needs to look no further for material than God's Word and do exactly what God's Word says about it, and it would fill up the theaters. I believe that with everything I have. But of course, they don't want what's in here because, church, it's a pretty clear approach that you and I have. You either accept the fact that we are created, therefore have a creator, therefore are responsible to him, or we got here by chance and we're going to do what we dog well want to. Those are the two options in this world. And it is yours and my responsibility to make sure that even though the world may not agree with us, they need to have the witness that it's still true. And all of this is found in the Old Testament. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. Now, with that disclaimer said, we are still going to have to give ourselves a refresher course, because what you're seeing here in this passage is the life of Moses summed up in some six or so to seven verses. And it's difficult to do that, but of course the leadership of the Holy Spirit can do that. But we're going to look a little closer at the history as to how we got to these things. But each verse in this passage from 23 to 29 is going to be turned into a faith statement. Look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Father, change us to look more like you. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Faith is the answer. Say that with me, church. Faith is the answer. Very good. Faith is the answer. Point number one, faith is the answer to threats. Faith is the answer to threats. Now, before we dive into that verse 23, it's important to understand that from verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. From that verse to verse 23, some 400 years has happened. And a lot has happened. You start, of course, with Abraham and God giving the covenant, the promise, I will make a great nation out of you. He has one kid, Isaac. It's a start. It's a start, but in the eye of sight, it is not a nation. In the eye of faith, it is. Isaac has two kids, Jacob and Esau. A little better start. In the eye of sight, still not a nation. in the eye of faith, it's happening. Jacob has 12 children. And those men all marry, and they start tribes. Now we have a nation. It was always there, just hadn't been seen by the eye of sight. But the eye of faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Esau, all of them believed that God would do what he said he would do. In church, that's what faith is. Believing that God will do what he says he will do because he can do it. Watch this. And then faith, as Brother Craig sent me in a text yesterday, faith's not just believing God can. Faith is believing God will. And he did it. And so now we have these 12 tribes, but there's an issue between the 12 brothers and Joseph. They don't like the kid. I can relate to Joseph. I was wonderful. I was well favored. I was a great kid. So misunderstood. I got beat up. I got made fun of. I got ridiculed, ostracized, denied. I can relate to Joseph. Man, praise God my brothers did not sell me into slavery. Because that's what Joseph's brother, we'll get rid of you, buddy. Yeah. They sold him into slavery. Now Joseph finds himself a slave, then a servant. And as a servant, God blesses him. Then he gets wrongly accused by the master's wife, and now he's thrown into prison. Well, he has his dark night of the soul, and he deals with it, and he does better. And so he starts serving the prison. And before you know it, he is divining other prisoners' dreams, telling them what's going to happen. And one of these men find themselves back in Pharaoh's service because Joseph's divining was accurate. And now in this service of the Pharaoh, the leader of the known world at that time, Pharaoh wakes up from a really bad dream. I will not tell you who. Well, not tell you who, but this guy said after first service, you were talking about my mother-in-law. I was not. 7 fat cows came out of the river. That's bad. That's really bad. I'm praying for this individual. 7 skinny cows came out of the river after the 7 fat cows and ate the 7 fat cows and didn't gain any weight. And Pharaoh wakes up. He's bothered. I mean, really bothered. And he says, basically, half my kingdom to anyone that can tell me what this dream's all about. And, I remember Joseph. I was supposed to remember him before now, but I remember Joseph. And he says, I know somebody that can divine dreams. And Pharaoh's like, bring him here. And Joseph finds himself from the prison house to the state house. And Pharaoh says, I hear you can divine dreams. I can ask God to give it to me. Yes, I can do that. Told him. And he said, here it is, Pharaoh. You're going to have 7 years of plenty. You're going to have an agricultural boom in this nation. And then you're going to have 7 years of famine that will take away every advantage and every gain that you had if you do not prepare for it. And everybody in that room goes, oh, no. And the Pharaoh said, Joseph, can you help me out here? And Joseph said, I can do anything God asked me to do. I need you to be second only to me, and I need you to get us ready. I believe Joseph had the gift of organization. And for 7 years, they built barns. They built silos. They built storage facilities. And for the next 14 years, Egypt fed the world. That's a miracle, folks. So guess who got hungry? The 12 brothers. And all their families, their tribes, that had sold Joseph into slavery. Now, whole nother sermon, but before they could get to the food, they had to take care of this little thing of bitterness and forgiveness. And not just, I mean, out and out attempted murder on the brother's part. And they got that figured out. And Joseph forgave them completely because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, which was yet to happen. But he had faith that it would. In church, he forgave them, and God supernaturally provided for them. 400 years later, we've got this little 12 tribes population explosion. And during that 400 years, they were outbirthing the Egyptians. And so Pharaoh, as I say in my Arkansas, he thunk him a thought. He thought, you know what? I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to bop these folks over from good relations to slaves. And I don't know how they can't be okay with that, because we've taken care of them. Look what we've done for these people. We have kept them alive. Just out of the graciousness of their heart, they should be willing to become our slaves and build everything we need them to build, right? Yeah. And that's what happened. And so now, 400 years from God providing through Egypt, now Egypt has them in oppression. And they are crying out to God to deliver them from oppression. And here comes Moses. Here's a problem. Here's the problem. Not only had he said, we want you to do everything that we want to do, meaning build our pyramids and build our, make our bricks and all that, but we don't want you having children, because you can amass an army that we can't match. And we're going to fix this by you just killing the baby boys. When a baby boy is born, you just dash his head. It's all good. If you don't, you're going to have a problem with us. Read that verse again. Now, all of a sudden, with the historical background, look at what it says. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. How could they not be afraid of the king's commandment? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By their sight, by their physical sight, they have every reason to be afraid of the king. He can kill people at will. He can have you executed. He can have you and your family destroyed and wiped out and never thought of again type thing. But yet, the king can't do anything that God doesn't allow him to do. And they believe that. I do not believe, church, that Moses' parents looked at this child and thought, this child is better than any other child. I don't think that's what proper means. I believe they thought and believed God's got a specific plan for this child. We cannot allow Egypt to destroy this child. Faith is the answer to threats. What's your boss telling you? You better not, or you better, in relation to staying quiet? What is our world telling us? You just keep your Christianity in those four walls and we'll be fine. Only problem is, we have a great commission that tells us we got to do exactly the opposite. We got to go and tell. Amen, church? We got to go and tell. We've got to have faith that the threats are just that, they're threats. Church, we do not need to worry about the threats of this world in doing what God has called us to do. We just need to do it and leave the threats to God. So I leave you with this thought under this first point. The safest place for a child of God is in the center of his will. The safest place for you is in the center of his will. Number two, faith is the answer to pressure to conform. Look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So this is the rest of that story. After 3 months, they knew his kid's loud. He's hungry. He cries. We're gonna be found out. So the Bible says that they took an ark, a little small ark, and they pitched it within and without. So they made it waterproof. And they let that dry, and then they put this child in that ark, pushed it into the river. The alligator-infested River Nile. God can do anything. And so God protected Moses in that ark and miraculously brought him to the area where Pharaoh's daughter and her group were at. There was a handmaiden in that group, a Jewish slave handmaiden. Guess who she was? Moses' sister. When she heard Moses cry out in the bulrushes, she went out and got him and brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter fell in love. And then she said, he's obviously Jewish, go find me a Jewish mother that can wean him. In other words, nourish him until he's old enough to eat solid food. That handmaid said, I know just the woman, and took him back to mama. That was a coinky-dink, wasn't it? I'll tell you what. No, it was God. It was God. And God took care of it. I sound a little bit like Barney Fife when I say that, wouldn't it? It was God. All right, sorry. I divert. Faith is the answer to pressure to conform. So the end of that story is that he grows up in Pharaoh's house after he's weaned, and they teach him that you're an Egyptian. But yet he knows better, because he's been taught up to five or so, you're God's man, and you are from God's children. And when it comes decision time, he's a teenager, he's a young man, and it's decision time. You live like a Pharaoh, or you live like a child of God. Moses says, I'm going to live like a child of God. Church, this world wants you to do anything and everything except live like a child of God. You can pick it. You can be anything you want to be, the world tells you, except who and what you ought to be. And God is telling you today through this pastor, you and I can have the faith to be who we are called to be. We don't have to conform. We do not have to conform. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Point number three, faith is the answer to temptation. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Church, he had everything at his beck and call. As Pharaoh, he could have all the women that he wanted. Didn't matter about marriage. As Pharaoh, he was as wealthy as anybody could be. He could have an island if he wanted it, so on and so forth. But those things were attached to the Egyptian ways. They served and worshiped gods, not God. And Moses knew the difference. And Moses, just from that short time of training, had the faith to believe that it was better for him to do what's right than to do what's not right. And church, I know that the devil, the world, and your flesh is tempting you to do what's not right. I know that because I'm experiencing it too. And the scripture is very clear. Moses had faith that the things of this world only please for a season. The pleasures of sin last but for a season. And it builds on this. Before I leave this point, faith that the reward of refusing sin is greater than the reward of experiencing it. You see, when I was a young man, I preached that sin wasn't fun, sinners didn't have fun, and lost people didn't understand what life was all about. I'm telling you now, I understand and I know sin is fun. Sinners are having a great time, and lost people are enjoying life here on this earth to some level. But church, we also know that the pleasures of sin do not last. Every week, someone in the Hollywood or the world's music experience takes their life through overdose or suicide. Almost every week. Every week, a millionaire goes missing. Every week, it's unbelievable how, quote unquote, the rich and famous are not happy. Why is that? Because the pleasures of sin last but for a season. And Moses had faith that every temptation is an invitation to worship the Creator instead of the created. Point number four. Faith is the answer to suffering. Faith is the answer to suffering. Or faith supplies the strength to endure suffering. Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Church, Moses, in his formative years of adult, male adulthood, he is wrestling with all of the issues of life, and he's making all of the right decisions. He looks at the reproach that following an invisible God brings. He looks at the, and reproach means persecution. Reproach means turning the nose up. I can't believe that you would do that. I can't believe that you would follow a God that you've never seen. So on and so forth. And what do you mean that there's going to be some ultimate sacrifice someday? That doesn't make sense. And Moses understood what that was going to bring and what castigation, and that means, again, persecution, that was going to bring from the world that he was inside of. And he realized that that was more worthy. Let's finish the verse. Than riches, than the treasures in Egypt. Remember, he had everything in front of him. He could do anything the flesh would want to do. But watch this. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Church, those are big words. Let me break it down for you. He knew what was coming on both ends. He knew that if he stayed with his belief that there was an ultimate sacrifice coming someday by the Son of God on the cross, he believed that there would be a reward for that that would be worth it all. And he believed that for those that did not accept Christ, he believed there would be a reward for that that wouldn't be worth it. Church, eternal punishment is pretty serious stuff. Eternal pleasure and climate control is pretty serious stuff. And Moses had faith. Faith is the answer to suffering. Don't raise your hand, but I'm curious. Did anybody this morning wake up and go, I can't wait to suffer? Oh, I can't. Please, God, please let me suffer. No. In fact, most of our prayers are the exact opposite. Anytime that gets on the radar, we're like, oh, no. No, I didn't go bow hunting yesterday because I didn't want to suffer in the heat. How lazy is that? But that's how bad we don't want to suffer. Church, Moses was willing to suffer for Christ because he believed that the reward was worth it. Church, we need to get some of that. We need to understand that. He knew what he had in Christ. He knew what was coming for sin. Point five, faith is the answer to sight. Faith is the answer to sight. Look at verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, I need to catch you up with the history. So Moses decided one day he was going to deliver Israel because he knew that was what he was created for. He saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite. So he did the only thing a deliverer is supposed to do, right? He gets in between them, kills the Egyptian. Tries to bury. Nose, finger, toe, something was sticking out of the sand. And he got caught. So now all of Egypt is trying to find Moses. Because he killed an Egyptian. That's death. He hits the road. Goes to the wilderness. He gets married. Has children. Becomes a shepherd. And one day, he sees the burning bush. I told First Service this, Jacob, if you are out in the woods someday and you see a burning bush that is not consumed, call 911. But for Moses, that wasn't the answer. For Moses, he took off his sandals and he knelt before holy ground, and God called him to deliver the nation of Israel through the burning bush experience. Faith is the answer to sight. So now, when he stands in front of Pharaoh and says, you let my people go, and Pharaoh says, I don't understand, because they were raised together, you understand that. Basically, they were brothers. And Pharaoh says, Moses, you were raised the way I was raised. I don't get it. You don't make any sense. You're serving a God that I've never seen. You're serving a God that's invisible, and you're telling me that you're willing to lose everything for that God. And Moses says, that's right. That's exactly right. Because you see, my faith has shown me that it's real. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the answer to sight. Point six, faith is the answer to judgment. Look at verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So now here we are in the throne room, and Moses is laying down the law. You must let God's people go, or God is going to destroy this nation. Basically, Pharaoh said, prove it. 10 plagues. Don't have time to go through. 10 plagues. The last one. Church, I just about cry every time I think about this, because every one of my children is precious. But we all have a firstborn if we have children. And even though that firstborn is not important than the others, he or she is the firstborn. Most of us ruin the firstborn, but that's for another sermon. We practice, I'm teasing. We practice on the firstborn. Watch this. The death angel is coming for the firstborn of all Egypt and all Israel. And God says there's only one way for you to escape losing your firstborn. For me, it would be Molly. Don't say it out loud, but what's the name of your firstborn? You're going to lose him or her if you're an Egyptian or an Israeli unless you do this. You've got a cauldron of blood from an unblemished lamb representing the future sacrifice. You dip a branch of hyssop into that. You sprinkle it over the doorpost. That night. Now, this is the younger crowd here at Bethel. How many of you have heard the song? When I see the blood. Anybody? When I see the blood. Finish it. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The Passover. The death angel that's going to take the firstborn of every family, every cattle, every sheep, herd, all of it. He's passing through the land of Egypt. Those that do not have the blood sprinkled by a hyssop branch, he goes in and he takes the firstborn from that family and that household. Everybody that has the blood on the doorpost, he passes over. And church, that's salvation. If you have repented of your sins and you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, to come into your heart and be your Savior, the death angel will pass over you when you die. And you'll go to heaven, not hell. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Faith. Here it is. Faith is the answer to judgment. Be not deceived. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're not sure if you're going to, I respect that. You have the right to choose not to accept Christ. You do. I'm just imploring you not to. In other words, I'm imploring you to accept Christ as the forgiveness of your sins today. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Point seven and last point of today. Faith is the answer to obstacles. Look at verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. That's the end of that history lesson. After God took the firstborn of every Egyptian home that did not have the blood, and you can imagine most, if not all of them, did not. They've lost their firstborn. They've lost the firstborn of their cattle. They've lost the firstborn of their sheep. They've lost the first. I mean, devastated. Devastated. Watch this, church. Pharaoh says, go ahead. Go ahead. Get out of here. Pharaoh lost his firstborn too. Get out of here. And here they go. 3 million people. They're leaving. They're hitting the road. They're excited. Freedom! That's what they're experiencing. No more brick laying. No more brick making. We are out of here. And here they go. Pillar of cloud by day. Pillar of fire by night. Watch this, church. Red Sea. Problem. Red Sea. I can see one of the guys coming up to Moses. Brother Moses, I don't swim so good. You got a plan? And Moses is like, yes, sir, I got a plan. Lifts up his staff, lifts up his arms. God, you've got to help me. Whew. Moses turns that guy and says, start walking. Yes, sir. I can do that. And here comes the chariot army from Pharaoh. He's changed his mind. He's decided he doesn't want to build pyramids by his own hand. He still wants his slaves. And the Bible says that the pillar of fire stands between him and the Egyptians until they all... Israelites, until they all get across the Red Sea. And then the pillar of fire is gone. So here they go. Y'all know that's how horses run, right? Here they go. And the greatest chariot army in the world gets in the middle of the Red Sea and they're drowned. They're gone. Horses and men. Now, I want to close with this thought. One atheist... I'm not being mean. This is a true story. One atheist, they got really smart about 30 years ago, and they figured out that nothing in the Bible is accurate or true. So they said. And they started to try to prove every miracle in the Bible as untrue. And so this atheist had read from somebody that at that time of life of the world and the earth, the Red Sea was only 6 inches deep. And so he's telling this Bible scholar slash student that, see there, it wasn't a miracle at all because they just walked across on this 6 inches of water, even though the Bible says dry land. All of a sudden, this student just loses his mind, starts praising God, hooping and hollering, jumping all around, and the atheist says, what are you doing, you fool? And he says, no, you don't understand. God still worked a miracle by drowning all those Egyptians in 6 inches of water. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Gerald Mitchell used to say, I believe this Bible from cover to maps. Amen. Amen. Faith is the answer to obstacles. Your faith will be backed up by miracles. Faith is the answer, not because of our faith, but because of who we have faith in, Jesus Christ. Faith defined. Faith is the practice of believing that God has, is, and will do what he has said. It is what is in the test tube of life. It is real. It is right. It is reliable for what is hoped for or needed. You have real, right, reliable faith that what you need will be provided. It's the evidence of things not seen. Your faith is the legally binding evidence that Christ can be trusted. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we're inviting, I'll say it, we're begging you to come to know Christ today. Maybe you're here today and you know Christ, but you've not followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. We're asking you to do that. Come forward.